enough. You guys are just way too friendly. Welcome. If you are new here today, I am not the pastor. I'm one of them, but I'm not him. He is, Pastor Jim has, for those of you who've been here over the years, knows suffers for the easiest ability to get bronchitis than he possibly can. And he left here Wednesday in tip-top perfect shape, and Thursday showed up with bronchitis. So he's been to the doctor, he's on medication to take care of that, but he is not well this morning enough to come and to share with you. So I get to. And I don't usually teach on Sunday mornings. Usually I'll give that away to some of the other guys who have a calling to teach, not because I don't want to, not because I don't like you Sunday morning people. But I get to do my job every day. I love the job that I have to serve here and to serve under our pastor and to serve you. And I feel like I get to do it every day, and some of these people don't get to and have a calling. And so to let them teach is a blessing to me, and they bless me also. I hope they do the same for you. But I do come this morning, and Kyle put it very plainly, to share the burden that I have on my heart. This message that I have to share with you this morning is one that I wrote over a month, or actually back in November. Pastor Jim was kind of on the teetering on possibly being sick. So, you know, as we're always told to have in this church, if you're a teacher, is to have one in your back pocket. Be ready to go to be able to share with and teach the people. And so I wrote this one, and then God closed the door for that. But today he opened that door, and I think it's very relevant to what is on my heart this morning. I want to talk about joy this morning. What is joy, and where does joy come from? Is joy the same as happiness? I have been asked that question literally in the past 3 months, 100 times if once. Where does my joy come from? There's a lot of people right now, I don't know about you, and I don't know what your job is, where you work, where your sphere of influence is, but let me see by a nod of heads, do you see a lot of people right now that just don't seem to have a lot of joy? Depression, I think, is at an all-time high right now. For what reason? Well, one, we're in the middle of winter, shorter days, shorter amount of sunlight. That does affect some of us. For some of you, like, yeah, it does me every year. For some of us, it's the economy and what's going on in our world and the leaders that are out there and the choices they're making, and we're trying to see things go up, but they're not quite changing yet. And so there's a lot of things out there, right, that can bring us down. The holidays for some people, just Christmas, turn of a new year, and looking back at the old can be a time that just kind of drags us down. So I have been asked many times, well, about where can I find my joy? And, you know, can you give me some good direction on where I can find, I want to be happy again. Have you ever said that? I just want to be happy. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I know we throw words around and they mean different things, but to me, as I read and as I read in Scripture, I do not believe happiness and joy, I don't see those in the same, they're not the same word. I might be happy today because I got my coffee. Amen? Do I hear an amen? I might be happy because things are going good in my life. I might be happy because I got a great job. I may be horribly unhappy because I don't have a great job. I may be horribly unhappy because of the situations that are going on in my life or my extended family or in the church or wherever. But can I tell you that no matter how bad our situations are, so I think happiness is determining, it's what happens with our circumstances. If my circumstances are good, I'm happy. If they're not, I'm not happy. But through all of that, is it possible for me as a Christian man, for you as Christian men and women, to find joy in your life? I hear a yes. Just one. There's only one person that believes that. So then, if that's the case, and if you can be honest with yourself this morning, do you have true joy in your life right now? I don't want to shake a hand, I want to raise hands or shake heads. Do you have joy in your life right now? I'm not saying, are you happy about what's going on? Do you have people in your life that are struggling with finding joy right now? Well, if you're not in joy right now, if you know people or you think you might ever come across one, then this message is for you on how to help yourself or others to find joy again. Because there are a lot of unpeople out there, unhappy people, and that have no joy in their lives. So how do we find that happiness, that or that joy in our lives? See, I just did it already. I think that, that actually does come from that, though. You know, I can find that happiness back. The other things start to change in my life. When I find true joy in Jesus Christ, when I am able to find that place again, to find that focus again, then things start to change. Amen? My perspective changes. How I handle things change. So I can be happy if I find joy. You know what? This is what I always go to. People say, well, I don't think it's possible for me to have any joy. I don't have any joy in my life because this is going on. My marriage is having troubles. I don't have any money. I never have any money, so I'd be an unhappy person if I have it, I spend it. You know, this is all, so I'll just never find joy in my life. Everything is horrible. It's terrible. And so you know who I always mention, right? Who in Scripture can we see that went through hell and back and had joy? Him? Somebody else? That's Paul. Paul, I believe, had the ability to say as a Christian man, I am just bummed out. He was a persecuted man. His friends were fighting. False teachers were invading the churches and the works that he had started, that he had considered himself as the father of those churches. And on top of it all, he was sitting in a nice dark prison. Now, I think that's pretty rough. He has every reason to just be totally bummed out, right? I think that God sent Paul to be in this word that we have before us today, because I just see Paul as just like you and I. And we can look at others and go, a little different situation. But Paul was just kind of the average guy. And again, he was, when he wasn't for God, he was against God, and he was doing some horrible things. God saved him, saved me, did a miraculous work in my life, and put me on the road to doing the right thing. But Paul was just still your average, ordinary guy. But when we look at the life of Paul and all the things that he was going on, that were going on in his life, he had every reason to not have joy in his life. Yet he did. Even in the midst of the prison, even in the midst of being there and not being out and hearing all of the things that were going on in the churches that he loved so much, he had joy in his life. We're going to be in the book of Philippians. I know Pastor Jim just came from there, but we're going back there again. And if you'll turn to the book of Philippians, the very first chapter, he says in verses 18 and 19, after he's just come off talking about some of the false teachers that are corrupting his churches, he even finds joy in the midst of that. He says, but in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 1, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether for false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He had even a positive attitude in the midst of all that was going on. But we're going to spend our time in chapter 4 of Philippians. So flip forward another page or two. Because I believe in chapter 4, Paul's going to give us some guidance and direction in just a few short verses to give us an idea of how we can find joy again. If you ever find yourself off of there, you can go back to this. And we're going to just read through it, and then we're going to kind of recap back. So Philippians chapter 4. Verses starting in verse 4 through 9. Follow with me if you would. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Joy, the word joy and the word rejoice are used 14 times in the book of Philippians. I think it's kind of a focus there. And the first thing he starts out with is to rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. You know the song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And okay, we'll stop. How do you do that? in the midst of a trial? You've asked that question, haven't you? How do you come to a place where I can rejoice in the midst of my car just broke down, my pay got cut, my kids are fighting, my wife's mad at me, or my husband, you can put that whatever one fits. My job's not going so good, the roof's leak. I mean, how do you come to a place in the midst of that where you can go, well, praise the Lord, thank you. I don't think that's what it means. I think that what it's normal for us, and you tell me, I pray that some of you have a better handle on this than I feel that I do sometimes, as I, even as a pastor, have a weakness in this area. Something happens that's pretty big, and our first inclination is to kind of go into stress mode. Amen? Some of you don't. I do. Even as a Christian man, even as a leader in this church, I know sometimes my first reaction, may it be short, used to be longer, man. You know, back in the day, I think God, you know, he could have just, you know, miraculously fixed some of the situations in my life, but he was trying to make me a stronger man. And he knew that he couldn't make me a stronger man in Christ if he didn't allow those things to go on, if he didn't allow me to flounder a little bit where I know I shouldn't be. And that was sitting there going, oh, good Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to sell one of the children to fix the car. I'm going to have to do this. I'll take on a second job. And I used to sit there when, before we came to Colorado, we grew up in Iowa where we met and got married. And then we moved to Indiana where I served as an assistant pastor there. And I had just a very meager job. And the church paid me $20 a week. And so we just didn't have a lot. And when things financial would come, that was my weakness. Know your weakness, folks. Know where you stumble easy there. And my weakness was my finances and the things I needed to take care of, because as a man, I wanted to take care of my family. And so when those things would arise, something would happen with the car, and I didn't, instantly, I'm there, oh, agonies, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to, you know, get another job. I'm starting to look. And God would let me stay there if that's where I wanted to stay. And eventually I would come to a place where I would get back into focus of what this was really all about. And what I think this is saying when it says rejoice in the Lord always is not that I'm standing there going, Lord, thank you for letting my car break down. You know, thank you that I have no money. Thank you for this. It's about perspective, because see, God can't do anything with me when I am in the flesh there. When I am dwelling on the situation, he can't do a lot. But if I can stop and back up, and not about the situation, but get my focus back on the Lord, begin to rejoice in how wonderful he is, how great the things he has done in the past, how he's, you know, the mere fact that he saved this scumbag standing right here and allowed me to come into heaven one day, that's worth rejoicing as far as I'm concerned. And to get that perspective back. See, I think what rejoicing does when stopping in our situations and backing up and getting our focus back on the Lord, and whatever that takes. You know, we do praise and worship in here, and in praise and worship, if it only happens here, you're missing out. But to get on our knees before the Lord, begin to sing songs of praise. Not because of the situation, but because I know who he is. And he is never changing. He is never failing. He is always with me. Can I tell you that no matter what your situation is this morning, that God is still on the throne. He is still wants to be in control of your life and the situations in your life if you will allow him to be. And so we've got to come to that place where in the midst of the circumstances, I need to rejoice, not because it's going to change anything instantly, but because I need to have the right perspective. You see, when I rejoice in the Lord in the midst of hard times, it states who's in control. He still is. I don't want to be. I mess things up when I'm in control. It states whom I trust. I trust him. And I trust him with my life and my family and everything, because I've seen that all of the things that if I love him, if I serve him, then all of those things work together for good. All of those things. So I trust him with that. And it states that I have faith and I'm going to put it into practice here. Trials will always be around the corner. I wish. Don't you wish sometimes that we, you know, I think there's some people that thought once you got saved that it was all going to get better. Wow, shocker there, huh? It did get better. My situation and who I now, I don't walk alone. And no matter what I do, where I go, what I have to handle, I am not alone. And if you are this morning, if you sit here and you say, I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and I'm bummed out, can I tell you that though you can be bummed out and walk alone, you can have someone that's in, or you can have someone that's in control of your life, in control of the choices that you make, not in control in giving. He will not force you to do anything, but he will guide, he will direct in each and every situation. Each time those trials come, each time my time frame gets much shorter. I pray for the day that when something happens, I'm just like, praise the Lord. God is good. He's in control, and I'm not afraid. Satan, you can throw anything at me that you want. Go for it. I'm a protected man. I pray for that day. I work towards that. To me, that's perfection in me, and that's not going to come until I get to step through those clouds and see my Savior face to face. I won't be perfect until then. Until then, I'm going to fail. And you know, it's this morning when we meet before we come in here and pray. And Tony's always back there with us. And Tony made a comment in prayer that he said, you know, we're going to fail at doing this the right way. Can I tell you that's okay? The key is not that you failed, but that you got back up, that you learned something from that failure. We all fail. Every one of us screw up once in a while. And that's part of the learning process. Every once in a while, I will take something on myself. And God goes, okay, go for it. Is that what you want? You can do this. Go ahead. I'm still here. And a lesson is learned. I walk stronger after those times, but I fail. And you will fail. Our pastor will fail. We have to get back in. And when I go straight to the flesh, I'm failing at that point. Because he tells me not to in his word, right? And there's nothing in his word that's not pertinent to where I am as a Christian that doesn't give me direction. And he tells me that I shouldn't go there. But when I go there, I'm kind of failing. The key is that at some point in time, I go, well, wait a minute. Whoa, we're out of perspective here. I need to get back to where I need to be. Regardless, that's still going to be there, but I need to get on my knees before my Lord and Savior. Verses 5 and 6 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, I think probably anxiety is one of the biggest money makers in the medical industry today. Don't you agree? We all deal with anxiety. We all have stresses. We all have issues that come up. Anybody in here not have a problem with that? Okay, good. I was worried. I do. And can I confess something before you this morning? That even as of this last week, I was allowing anxiety to cause problems with me. When we allow anxiety to take over in our lives, it changes. I know that's one of my downfalls. And so when things come along that really struggle and stress me, it's I don't know. Is it? Are we comfortable in that place? None of us like the feeling, that tightness in our chest, that sped up pounding heart, can't sleep, thinking about things all night long. And it's easy to get there. And it's easy. You know, one thing I don't like about it, God has let me, this last time that I had a little bit of struggle with, a little bit of it, he taught me something that I had never seen before, really. Well, maybe I had seen it, but just not as much as I did this time. But when I am in the midst of anxiety, I've shared with you before that back in the day before I really came to walk with the Lord as I do today, that I had a problem with anger. And I've shared that with you before. If you struggle with anger, God has a solution for that. And he can help you pass. You should be a very angry person. But when I'm in the midst of anxiety, that's not how it comes out. It doesn't come out as anger. I become something different. You know, I don't know. this is going to surprise you, but I'm a joker, okay? And I love to have fun. I think that a long time ago, we decided, first of all, God made me who I am, and there was a time in my life where I felt I had to fit into some other mold, but I am thankful for Calvary Chapel because I get to be who God made me be. Some of you are going, yeah, we know. But I get to be who God created me to be. And I'm a fun guy. I'm a fun-loving guy, and I like to have fun. And we decided a long time ago that we were going to show our kids that being a Christian wasn't some, you know, all just hands folded all the time and serious and straight, that this was a blast, that serving my Lord and Savior was fun, that it was enjoyable, that there was joy in serving the Lord. And when it comes out in our house, if you've ever been around or your kids have been at our house, we joke all the time. We joke around. We have fun. I mean, that's just the way we are. You know, the kids are up in the morning and they're barely dragging themselves out of the bed, and we're singing songs at the top of our voices, and they're, oh, stop it, we just want to eat cereal. And that's the way we are. But when I am lost in anxiety, I become something that God didn't create me to be. And I don't, that doesn't come out, and there's no joy. You know, I'm thankful that God gave me the wife that I have, because this last time she knew. She's praying for me. She was just coming by and touching me, kiss on the cheek. She knew that I was struggling with a few things and that God needed to deal with me in those things. But she knew, and she would do that each time. I would look around and go, this house ain't functioning today like it's supposed to be. And it's my fault, because I'm allowing something to be in control here. My word tells me to not be anxious about anything, but to take whatever that is before the throne of God and put it at his feet. Paul tells us how we can do that very thing, to go before our Lord. Prayer, through prayer, speaking to our Lord and Savior about anything and everything that is going on in our lives. He does care, and he can do something about it if you'll allow him to. I used to pray when it was a financial issue. You've done this before, pray for the check in the mail. Lord, if you could just send. Some good brother would, and he has actually done that before, by the way. There were times when we were just financially strapped, and I've had people pull up at my front of my house and go, God told me I'm supposed to give you this. I'm like, thanks, God. But it doesn't usually happen that way. But I go before the Lord to seek him. He does have an answer and a direction for me to take. If I could take up there above what Paul said and rephrase it this way, we should be anxious for nothing, prayerful for everything, and you know what comes next. And thankful for anything. God is in control. He desires to see us through and to help us find our place back to joy. We can't do that if we don't take those things that are heavy on our hearts, that are heavy on your hearts right now this morning. Some of you are carrying burdens that have been bearing down heavy on you and burying you in the dirt, and you have yet to take them to the foot of the cross. Some of you need to do something before you get there, the foot of the cross, is you need to meet the Savior first. Some of you in this room don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. And if you'll give your life to the Lord and get down on your knees before him and let him take that load off of you, he has an answer and he has a direction. But he's not going to make you do it. You have to ask. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we come to the realization that nothing in this world can truly make us happy, when we seek the Lord with all that we are and all that he has, we can find our joy in Jesus Christ. I want that peace. I found that peace. I found that peace. I pray that peace for you this morning. I pray that peace for those who around me. I go to Walmart, you know, and I don't know how observant you are with the people around you, but can you just see it on their faces? I mean, we do this little game as Christians, even in the church here. You know, you walked in this morning, how many people did you ask, how you doing today? It's just what we say, right? And how many people said, good, but yet you could see on their face, you are lying. You are not good. But we got to put up, oh, everything's great, it's wonderful. Play that game with the friends around us. And I wish we wouldn't. I wish we would just be honest before him, saying, you know, I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time. Could you pray for me? Would you pray for me? In fact, in this church, you'll find that if you share that with a lot of the brothers and sisters in Christ here at the church, you won't even have to ask them, they'll go, can I pray for you right now? We'll gather people around. We'll anoint you with oil if it's something. We'll pray for you and seek the Lord on your behalf so that you can see what God wants to do in your life, that you can maybe break through that clutter, that maybe you can feel free a little bit to stand back and rejoice in the Lord and find your focus again and begin to seek him then in prayer on what needs to happen next. This is not God isn't, his word and knowing his word and knowing what God's wants of us is not, we sometimes make this very difficult because I have lots of people that come off. By the way, I always have to say this because, you know, one of the things I do here at the church is I do get to counsel. And I say get to because I love to be able to do that. But this sermon is not about any one of you. This is just about what I see today. But oftentimes people will come in seeking that happiness, that joy. And they're not doing the things that will work towards that. You know, we talk about the importance of knowing this book. Can I tell you that this book holds within it everything, and I am not an overly smart fella. Amen? No, don't say that. But this book holds everything that I need to know, to do, to live this life as Christ intended me to live it. And it's not cryptic. It's not some hidden meaning. Now, it may take some work on my part to understand that. But if I'm not doing any work at all, I can't expect to know what's in here. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many times have you found yourself in a dark portion of your life? And then in this church, if you come in to talk to somebody, and those of you who have, you can say amen to this, you'll know one of the things we'll ask you, are you reading? Are you praying? Are you spending time in God's word? Are you in fellowship? Have you been in church? Well, no, but you know, I've got this thing. You know, stop, back up, get the focus back, begin to look, invest time in this. I'm responsible for this. Did you know that? Did you know you're responsible to walk now in the way that the Lord has laid out for you in everything? Not just in the parts that sound good, but I am responsible now to walk in the Word. So that means that as a man of God, if I want to do what God, to please my Lord and Savior, I'm responsible to seek Him for everything that goes on in my life. How I make decisions. How I make financial decisions. How I make relationships and friendships. How I handle the business of the church. How I handle the business of my home, how I handle conflict, how I handle everything is here. And I think when I said earlier that when I fail sometimes I fail because I don't go and do what that says. I just pick something on my own. And I can't do that. That's failure. I don't want to fail. Side note, sorry. The peace that transcends, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen or in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's only one way to know that. There's only one way to know what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. There's only one way to know true joy in my life, and it's not... Is she in here? Is my wife in here? It's not found in my wife. I'd say that if she was here, by the way. I just was asking if she, so I could look at her. It's not found in my wife. My wife brings joy to me. But the core of who I am as a Christian man is not found in my relationship. So that could say that in the midst of, if Kelly and I, we're not, by the way, I'm going to say this right now, we're not having problems. But if we were, why do I have to state that? Because, did you hear Pastor Tracy and Kelly are fighting? No, we're not. But if in the midst, if we did, that I could still have joy in the midst of that? Is that possible? When there's turmoil in your house? To have joy. So when I have that joy, what do I also have? I also have focus. I have focus on who God is and how He wants to help me. It's not found from my relationships, though. It's not found from my wife. It is not found from a book. How many times have I been asked over the past year, could you give me a good book to read about how to find this or that or fix this? And I'm like, yeah, you got it right here. Now, don't take this as I'm saying that all books are bad. I think there's some stuff that's been written out there that's quite good, but there's some stuff out there that's just absolute garbage. And I think sometimes what we do as Christians is we want the Cliff Notes version, right? Wouldn't you like to have a book that's about like a quarter of this? It just kind of cuts through all of the verses and says, just do this and just do that. You know, and I think we look for that sometimes. Pastor Jim's mentioned that. That we try and look for some way around getting to intimately know God's word so that I can know what is noble, true, right, pure, admirable, so that I can seek the right things of God, so that I can have my focus right. There is no book that's going to do that. Quit looking for it. It's not about asking your husband and wife. And you know that I have, if you've counseled with me, you know that I put a great deal of emphasis on the men. Man, we have been given a responsibility in our homes to lead our homes, to be shepherds in our homes, to be men of God in our homes. And some of us are falling short of that. Some of us are in the process of stepping there. Some of us desire to do that and don't know how to go from here to there. But that's a responsibility that you have. It says it in the book, that I am supposed to be a spiritual leader in our home. And I think that if we truly were, there'd be a whole heck of a lot of happy ladies around if we were doing that like we should. And I fall short of that sometimes too. But that's an important thing to do. That you're supposed to be there to be able to stand firm for your family and to do the right thing. And when there are issues that come about, to be able to, I don't walk around my house and go, well, this is what we're going to do because I'm the boss. They all laugh at me if I do that because they think I'm joking. But my wife and my children respect me enough to come to me when we're making a decision and don't give me any flack about the decision. Well, my teenagers sometimes, but for the most part, no flack for the decisions that I make, because I try and always go to what God's word says that I should do. So your joy is not going to come from a book. It's not going to come from your husband and wife. And you know what? Even if your husband, ladies, or wives, whichever way, even if your spouse is walking in complete submission and total happiness and joy and focus in the Lord, it doesn't just like rub off next to you in the bed. It's not, it can be contagious. I truly believe that. Do you believe that? When we show that joy that's within us, I mean, have you ever had someone in a store at a Walmart just say, you look happy, what's going on? You know, what's with you? You know, or it becomes contagious. It becomes something we desire. I want that. You know, you see someone who is, you know, they're in the midst, especially those of you who have gone through trials. Some of you have gone through trials, and I have seen joy, and many of you I have gone through some very dark times in your life and watched you come in and just proclaim your Lord and Savior. And I see it on your face. You're not faking it. You're just standing strong in the Lord. You know, I just know He's going to take care of you. You are heroes to me. Just to see you doing that is a blessing. It's an encouragement to me to see you stand in that place. But it's not you. My joy is personal. It doesn't come from someone else. It doesn't sit from sitting in the pastor's office and asking him there. I mean, you know if you've sat there what you're going to get, what you're going to hear. He's going to direct you back to God's word. It's not even about coming to church on Sunday. I can't give you joy. I'd like to. I could tickle you and make you laugh, which is a little creepy, but I could. But that's not going to bring you lasting joy. Some great service. Oh, the praise and worship was awesome. Kyle and the band did wonderful, and it was a good message. But that in itself is not going to bring you joy. It is through an active, vibrant, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ where this book becomes alive in a way you've never seen it before. It's becoming consumed by and in the Word of God. It's by reading, asking. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. I have people call here all the time to understand Scripture a little better. It's about doing everything that you can to understand. It's about putting what I read into practice. Folks, that is the one thing we fall so far short of sometimes. One of the things we've all said at one time is we're fed good here. Amen? But if you don't ever do it, if you don't ever pick it up yourself and invest more time in it, then it's nothing. If we don't put it into action, even when it's difficult, then we fail. And it's by making mistakes and then going back to the Word of God to find out what I should have done or what I should do to fix this. This is truly how we find joy in our life, through a personal relationship with Christ Jesus and by the consuming Word of God, ingested daily and doing what it says. You know, Satan desires for you to, you know that, right? There's a war going on, right? There is one in Afghanistan and Iraq and a few other places, but the biggest war that I deal with on a daily basis is the one that's in the spiritual realm, that's where Satan, there's a piece of property that's here. That is me, that is my soul, that is, and there is a war that is raging because God wants it and Satan wants it. And Satan's fighting hard to touch, to take it away from me on a daily basis. God's allowing me to make that choice. And how many things out there right now are trying to steal you from becoming all that God wants you to be by knowing God's word, by finding joy? What do we do right now? And there's a little bit of self-confession here. I'm not going to say exactly what, but what do we do sometimes when there's stress? I don't know about the ladies. I know what guys like to do. When we're stressed out, instead of getting on, not sitting down, you know, honey, I just need some time in the word, pulling out our Bible. Maybe some of you do that. And I hope that we all come to that place. But what's the one thing we like to do? We come home from work after a stressful day? Computer, TV, right? I just want to zone out for a minute. You know, the average number of words that a man speaks in a day is like 20,000 or something, but for a woman it's like twice that much. And so the wives are wanting to talk, which would probably be the best thing for us guys to do. And the guys are just wanting to just shut up and stare at a TV screen and not think about anything. I just want to hop on my Facebook. Oh, that hurt, didn't it? Got one too. I think Satan wants us and is constantly trying to keep us out of this word. And how do I know that? Because distractions are the number one sellers today. Social networks are on an all-time high. I mean, the whole Facebook phenomena, if you have one, it started in just one single college, and now they're like multimillionaires from all the stuff that's on there. And some of the stuff, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's stuff that just eats up your time and wastes your time. And some of you have testified lately that I've got to get rid of this because it's eating into my time with God. And I'm blessed when I see that. Video games, ouch. TV shows, iPods and MP3 players. You know, we can't ever come to a place of quiet anymore. All the cell phones and every imaginable utility on our cell phones. And I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm a tech junkie here at the church. I love to be connected, and I've got my cell phone tied to our calendar, which tells me what Jim's doing tomorrow, and it's attached to the internet so that I can see it when I don't have my phone. So I love all that stuff, and it's helpful, but it can be distracting. It can overcome us and be our focus and be where we go when things get rough, instead of going to our knees at the foot of the cross and seeking God. And some of us in this room are guilty of that. Probably many of us are guilty of going some other place but to our knees. Joy. You know, the funny thing about joy also is that it needs to be fresh. Is the joy that you had last week or last month, is it still there? I'm not saying that you know, the joy of my salvation, going back to that and thinking about that and dwelling that, you know, I'm so thankful for what the Lord did for me. But my joy needs to be fresh. It needs to be renewed daily. It has to be, I can't keep it in a jar. Got a little joy from yesterday, I'm going to keep that, save it. Open it up when things get rough. Be nice, but it doesn't work that way. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And we went to a pastor's conference a while back, and a good brother shared that and talked about how we as a Christian people, as a church, as a Calvary Chapel, have somehow tried to hold on to the great things of the past. And he spoke of it in terms of Calvary Chapel and how alive that movement was at one time and where we are now, and what he sees that the comparison is completely different. But it fits so well in us as individuals. Sometimes we try and hold on to something that was before, it was last week, or things were good at one time, so I'm good now. We do that with our Bible reading. You know, I've always been a man in the Word, so I'm taking a little bit of break from it, you know. I haven't been in church for a while, but you know, I'm a good Christian. We try and save over things, and what he was saying in the scripture is, you know, you used to be underneath the fountain of outpouring of God's Spirit, and now you're selling for something that you've tried to store in, something that can't even hold it anymore. That we need to get back in focus with our Lord and Savior. So back to the question that I asked at the beginning of this message. Where does the joy come from? My joy comes from God and God alone. There is nothing in this world and no one in this world that can bring me the joy that He does. Is joy happiness? I don't believe so. Happiness is driven by my circumstances, and joy, praise the Lord, lives in spite of my circumstances. It strengthens me through my circumstances. It keeps me on focus so I can handle correctly my circumstances. How is it possible for people in terrible situations to have joy? I mean, is it really honestly possible? Yes, we see it in Paul's life. Paul's entire life is a testimony about joy. On the outward, he should have been a man depressed and sad, but we saw that what came from him, the fruit that came from him, was joy and peace and love. Where are you at today? I see so many people today, and it breaks my heart, that don't have joy in their lives anymore, even in this church. If you thought this church was going to somehow bring it to you, then you're sadly mistaken, because it's the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, the focus that you have on that, that's going to bring you your joy. I am not a person to say, when I said at the beginning of this, that you know, I think that anxiety is one of the biggest money makers in the economy today, medical economy today. It is true, and please don't take that. If you are on medication because you need to be on medication, I've got a problem with that. But I know that oftentimes that's something we grasp at because we haven't sought the joy of the Lord. So can I ask you, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart today? Do you see him as he is, high and lifted up? Have you been on your knees before him? You can be in your word every day and I think still be missing that joy. Maybe we just need to stop where we're at, because the economy and what my president does not change my joy. What happens with my car outside or with my bank account does not take away my joy. I can give it away, but it doesn't take it away. What's going on with my neighbors or my friends and the arguments they may be having and fighting at one another, it does not take away my joy. And when I lose my joy, when I lose that, I lose the focus on everything else. It begins to deteriorate and I don't see it as God wants me to see it. My prayer is for you today that you are able to find this, to stop and take a step back, refocus, begin to rejoice in him, whether it's in praise and worship, here at the church, yourself. I mean, don't wait till it's church service unless you want to stay for the second service and enjoy the praise and worship again, but don't wait for that. Get in your car. Get on your knees. Come up here afterwards. In fact, what I'd like to do is, before we pray in just a moment, and I'm not going to write in a second, but if I have a few of you guys who elders and stuff, just come up front. If you need someone to pray with, if you are struggling in that, then let us pray with you. Let us lift you up. We're not magical. All we're doing is just being what God's told us to be brothers and sisters in Christ and pull close to you and to say, hey, we're going to lift you up in prayer and to help you in that. But, you know, there's too many people out there right now who have lost the joy. And if we can recapture that joy, the things that we could do to Colorado Springs. Oh, the things that would change in our families. There for a time this last week, I lost some joy. I lost some focus. And my family suffered for it. I don't want that to happen again. I want to make sure that I'm in focus on my Lord and Savior. Let's all stand for you guys who come up in prayer. Just kind of come up here and hang across the front. This is what it's for, is to come up, spend some time in prayer. But let's all bow our heads and seek the Lord. Father, you are such a great and gracious God, and you are so patient with us. For some of us that stand in this room today, we have found ourselves in a dark place right now. Maybe we came here this morning looking for hope from something that the pastor would say or something that someone would say in the service. And what you're saying this morning is what we need to be paying attention to. And what you're saying is that we need to have our focus in you, because when we do, you can do the most work in our lives. And so I pray that, Father, for my friends and for the people of this church, that, Lord, if they've lost the joy, if their focus is not on you, that even as we pray right now, that they would be confessing that before you. Father, I'm sorry, I got off track. You are a great God. Just basking in the greatness that you are. If they need some help and need someone to pray with them, then Father, then just encourage their heart to come forward so that the elders up here can pray with them. But Father, help us to find our focus again. Help us to go to the correct place to find the joy, and that is you, that is at your feet. It is you that brings me joy. I thank you, Father. Be with these great people as they go from this place today. Keep them all safe. May your presence be close to them each and everything that they do today. May they not forget your word. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your great and glorious, marvelous, wonderful, exceptional, beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.